I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Tonight, we have a married couple. They've been married for 13 years. They have three children, ages 12, 10, and 6. Yes, 13 years, ages 12, 10, and 6.
Oof, Vashonda in the middle Arrington, of it.
Vashonda Arrington, who we're going to call V, which we appreciate, is a co-founder and chair of the Evolve Foundation. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. She's a business executive and entrepreneur. She's married to Kyle Arrington. For those of you out there, New England Patriots fans, you probably know the name. He won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. I guess it's been 10 or so years ago, plus or minus.
Wow. Yeah. Ten years ago.
But who's counting? Yeah. Who's counting? Kyle's is also an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and author, and co-founded the Evolve with his wife, that created and has organized, sponsored many, many supports for children and families, including the Reading and Writing Initiative for elementary school children. Welcome to both of you. Thanks so much for coming on. And I know we've met Kyle before, but V, it's great to meet you as well.
Nice to meet you both as well. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Wow. So, yeah. So you guys are a bunch of overachievers. I mean, first of all, three kids and working, you know, that's a lot right there. And then having, you know, an organization that you're running and businesses. Wow. How do you do it all?
Well, just this, you know, this beautiful lady, woman right here, as you can see. That's my overachievement. That's my accomplishment that if I don't accomplish anything else in this lifetime.
That's an outkick your coverage. I'm going to use it more football.
Yeah, good football term. Yeah, absolutely. I'll kick my coverage on.
There you go. So I want to go back a little bit because you must have met, I assume, Kyle, while you were playing pro football. Uh-oh. Is that when the two of you met?
Do you want to tell the story?
Well, there you go. I want to tell the story. Let's hear the story.
We went to the same high school, but we weren't technically high school friends. We had the same group of mutual friends. So after college, we would all have like game nights. And that's how we kind of started, I guess, started dating that way. Yeah. But it was after we had graduated, but he was his first year in the league, I would say. He was down in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, it just depends as far as like full context. Do y'all want her version?
I'm full context.
Yeah, I want to hear your version.
Y'all want the truth.
He chased me down.
Is
like
that the truth?
Or
is
now that somebody to tackle on the field?
Overachiever, you know, not always the most talented who makes it, but it always will be the most resilient.
The hardest workers.
Did you have to work hard to get V?
She played a little hard to get. Played hard to get.
I didn't play hard to get. I wasn't playing. I was really focused. So
what strikes me right is that did you got engaged while Kyle was playing?
Yes.
So you're engaged and you subsequently get married, and there's a period of time. How long were you still playing while you were married? Because I want to ask you about that period.
We got let me represent for the husbands real quick. So we got married in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And about five years or so. While we were married and my career was still going on.
Mm-hmm. So and you had children during that, some children, two children during that time.
Yeah, both of our boys. Both of our boys were born in New England, KJ, Kyle Jr. and Kaden.
Yes.
Okay. And you were living in New England at the time?
Yes.
So I was, after we were married, I was actually still working in Virginia. So I was traveling Friday. I would get off work. Mm-hmm. If he had a home game, I was traveling to Boston, flying back into work Monday morning, going straight to work. And so that was
a good job. Matter of fact, she was my retirement plan. And to be told, she had a
I love it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, the being apart stuff, particularly, I guess, when you start summer camp, wherever that was, wherever the Patriots had it. And the, during the season, you're certainly out of town half the season, which extends roughly five-ish months of the year. Tell me how you guys navigated that, both before you had kids and then afterwards.
Yes. So I would say that at first, just the whole dating process, it was really being very intentional. He's not necessarily a phone person. I wasn't a phone person. I never did long distance relationship before that, but it was the constant communication. So I would say that we were very intentional about that, as well as when it was a home game, I would fly into the home games and come back to work, like I stated. And so being very mindful of when we did have that time, we were spending quality time together when we were flying. So it wasn't where we were around a lot of other people. We were just, in a sense, engaged with one another. And then when he was home during the off seasons, we would spend a lot of time with family and things like that. So yeah, it was very intentional, very intentional.
One thing I can add to that is that I can appreciate, and I'm grateful that we, you know, when you just know, you know. Right. It's almost like I say this all the time. It's like going to Chick-fil-A for the first time. This is going to work out. So it was a situation early when you're courting stage. And even when you still get married, honeymoon phase, when it's always you on the phone, like, you go to sleep. No, you go to sleep. You know, that kind of thing. But even still now, like, we'll be laying in the bed and after the pillow talk, I guess, and it's like you still awake? Or no, you still awake? Oh, well, go to sleep. No, you go to sleep. So we says like, no, you go to sleep, that kind of thing. So I find that refreshing. And you know, 13 years in, with 2 years dating, 13 years in now.
So 15 years together, 15. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I went a math major, but yeah.
So would you guys say that you're best friends? Because sort of that description, that sort of summary of like the pillow talk, like neither of you want to like stop the process of connecting. It sounds like, do you consider each other best friends?
Yeah. Well, that to answer your question, that and because she's on the phone at night, as far as like Instagram and TikTok. So that's most of why I'm like, you go to sleep. But no, people say that often all the time when they uh-huh. see how we are. Like, oh, you guys are like really best friends. That's what people, that's what it tells us.
Yeah. I would say even I'll be on the phone with some of my friends and they're out of state. And they'll hear us talk like, oh, one of us is leaving or one of us is coming in. And so that's the constant conversation. Oh, y'all, you guys really talk like you are best friends. Like you really have that type of conversation. But I think it's just the communication that we've had. Of course, it's work, right? It's not just peaches and cream all the time. However, I would say definitely the best friend. I feel like if I can't confide in him, then, you know, what type of other than him, other friendships, it's not the same. So,
So V, you said it's not all peaches and cream. Mm-hmm. And I love that sort of, one of the things that David and I do is try to make sure people know that what you see on Instagram, what you see in social media, what you see out, you know, at night is not real. Like there is hard times, there is difficult times. So what would you say, you know, has been the most difficult time for you and Kyle?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I would also say, one with you saying that, I always tell people it's a season, and a lot of times people sensationalize social media and they'll say, oh, relationship goals or couple goals. Say you never know what goes on in that person's house. And then you get in a relationship and wondering why your relationship is like this, because you've actually said that that's what you wanted. You just didn't know it outside of social media. And so the one thing I'll say is, I would say there was a transition when Kyle left the league. It was a time where I would say that was probably a lot of people know, or some people know, that the way he left was due to concussion. And so that was a different time of, I would say, the in sickness and in health, right? So the taking him to appointments, the now he's here. Before that, it was, oh, he's at the facility for a few hours. Now we're spending even more time together. And like I said, we dealt with long distance. And then even when I was there, he still had his schedule. So I would say the transition from not playing anymore to being home. And also he's trying to figure out his next step. And so I'm already in that flow of being at home at this point because we have kids. And he's home more. He's not in the facility. He's not around other people like that, other teammates. And so I would say that was the transition of that, as well as, like I said, in sickness and in health, doctor's appointments. It was a different season for us. Yeah. So I would say that would probably, for me, that was probably one of the hardest in a sense of the adjustment and the change.
No, now that you are now I guess telling that story again, now it makes sense when you were like, no, you sure you don't want to get into coaching? Because I might have been spending too much time at home, you know, during that transition. So now, that makes sense now.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Kyle, do you have a different answer?
No, I would be right in line with that sentiment, because a lot, like my wife said, not a lot of people are aware of how my career ended, and it's like when people are, you know, you're a professional athlete, especially if you're a person at the top of your game as well, you know, coming off seasons where, you know, we went to 2 Super Bowls. I mean, I led the league in interceptions, and I mean, I don't toot my horn or anything like that, but I say, if you can imagine that, like, you had a pretty a decent sized circle when it comes to people who are just, I guess you never really know who's really in it for you and have your best interests at heart until you have nothing to offer them. Mm. And so once it was all, you know, said and done, just like, you know, snap of a finger, blink of an eye, you know, a lot of people left, a lot of people left, but my wife, my family, you know, the people who matter, you know, they were there to pick up the pieces. I wouldn't be the man I am. I mean, where I am, you know, today. Mm-hmm. She just because of her generosity, always gives me that co-founder title when it comes to the Evolve Foundation. But she's really like the heart, hustle, and soul, and the embodiment of what it is, what we represent, and what it is that we do.
And I want to talk to you about that. But before we get there, I want to ask you about the time, and again, I like to go on timeline, so forgive me. Mm-hmm. But before you had kids, you were at the home games. You were flying up to see them. You were spending some time over the weekend. But then you have children.
Yes.
And he's still traveling, and he's still playing. That I'm going to assume changed how things went for the two of you on those home weekends.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So how did you swing that?
I was pregnant with our first child. And so around towards the end of that pregnancy, I ended up leaving my job. I put in a year of leave thinking that, okay, I'll come back. And so I moved up to Boston, and we were kind of in our flow now. But I will say it was definitely different because he's still at the games. He's still, like you said, having to be at the facility. Coach Belichick was, it didn't matter if it was a whole blizzard, you were not missing practice, newborn or not. And so it was a lot of times where, in a sense, I was already a night owl, but that made me be a night owl because Kyle needed his sleep to be able to go and perform at the level that he was performing. So I was on night duty, even with the kids. Mm. So even, well, especially with the oldest up in Boston. And so even for games, it was where, oh, you may not be traveling to this away game because now you have a new baby, you know, and then it would be a lot more for that. So the away games, it wasn't where I was able to be there with him for the most part for a lot of those. So the dating, of course, dating changes, right? The time where it's just you two change. But I will say that we had a great support system and still do to this day in our parents. Our parents would fly up. My mom was there when we had for over a month, you know, just to help out. Our parents were there when we delivered everything. So we've had our village. I will say we've had a great village to help support. So even when it was, okay, you want to go to an away game, then I'll come up and watch the baby once they got older, once they got a little bit older. So,
So, I mean, football was a big part of your life, Kyle, right? I mean, you played in high school, you went to Hofstra, played in college, you played in the professional league, and you played for how many years did you play before you retired?
10.
10, wow. So 10 years.
That's a long time.
That's the bulk of your life. And all of a sudden.
It was a 9-to-5.
Yeah. I mean, but all of a sudden. Yeah, right. All of a sudden, it's taken away. And now you're home, as we talked about a bit ago, and you're bringing some baggage, some stress, right? You're now not doing what you were doing before.
Your identity is totally changed.
Is different. So tell us how, how were you feeling at the time? V, how were you handling it? And how did the two of you sort of pull yourselves together to deal with what probably was, as you both have said, a difficult time in your relationship?
Yeah, it was, as you can imagine, an upheaval, an emotional upheaval. of sorts. And I've always been one to go through adversity. And I think I'm most thankful that I failed, and I failed early. And I was one of those persons who was, I wasn't a prodigy at football. I was one of those persons who always had to be the hardest worker in the room. I was never the most talented, so I had to be the most resilient. Like I said, the most resilient. And yes, you know, in the moment when it happened and everything was taken from me, I just kind of had to, I guess, a reversal perspective. It was opportunity, you know, when you get knocked, I got knocked on my butt. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity for me to just listen, you know, where I was supposed to go from here. And I think, and I'm one of those persons where I my pillars are family and faith. And so, you know, you can't you can't say faith just because it sounds good. You know, when you're in those moments, when you're tested, you know, that's when faith comes into play. And I think it was a moment where God was just telling me, hey, look, I think I taught you all I could teach you in this season, albeit, you know, it was a long season. Yeah. But just like anything else, you know, you think things change. You have to adapt. You have to evolve. Mm-hmm. Pun intended. The name of our foundation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that was a catalyst moment right there for us to just be able to. Well, for me, but really us to be able to transcend everything I was able to do on the football field just into our community at that point.
And V, how did you sort of manage this time period for the two of you, for you individually? I mean, there had to be some me time, yes, and also as a mom.
Yes. So everything happened. I had plans for his 30th birthday. The last game was the night before his 30th birthday. So, and for years, it was, I will always say, you know, you're just with anything in life, but especially with football, you're one play away from never playing again. Mm-hmm. It only takes, like he said, a second. You don't know when that's going to be. I would say that it was, it's a season for me to be a support system for him, whether that was taking him to appointments, taking him to the check-ins that he had to still have, even though he wasn't playing at the facility, driving him there, because it was still that, as far as like memory and all of the things that that we're dealing with, because it wasn't just, he's had concussions before, he's had his, or what a lot of football players like to call, you know, a rung my bell, you know? Yeah. And so it was a little bit different this time. And so when I said, I do, when I said in sickness and in health, I meant that. And so it was a time to say, hey, you said that, do you really mean it? How are you going to show up? And so it was really, what do you need in this moment? Whether it was speaking to someone, whether it was talking to doctors, trying to figure out what this looks like and what life truly looks like right now. But I will say, if it was just him being a football player, I never would have dated Kyle. Mm-hmm. It was honestly the conversations that we had. So I knew that he was more than a football player. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a season where football is what he did, and it was a vehicle, and it has provided what we can do in the community, and grateful for that. But he was always more than that. So it was really letting him know that I see that he's more than that, and that his identity could never be just wrapped up in football. Yeah. Because if that's it, then you'll only be a football player. And that's where a lot of loss comes in.
I never came out of that hole.
Yeah, exactly. He was always more than that. Journalism, mass communications was his major. It wasn't where the conversations. And I believe that when anybody generally speaks to him, it's a different, his level of intelligence is very high. And so it wasn't where it's just, you know.
I'm about to pass something later.
Mm-hmm. Sir is really funny. So, no, I'm plugging, sir. It's really but no, I will say that he was never just a football player. So it was a transition and a stage that we had to work through. But football was always going to end at some point.
Yeah. So I heard a lot of things that I really like as a therapist. We often, you know, work to hold hope when people don't have it anymore. And it sounds like you really, you know, came in and you were like, okay, you know what? You're more than a football player. You're a dad, you're a husband, you're going to be fine. You're going to do something else. And then the other thing that I'd like to ask, we wrote a book, Secrets of Strong Couples. We interviewed lots of couples that went through really hard things. Mm-hmm. And what we found was nobody asked for these things to happen, but when you get through them, you definitely bond more, you lean in, you have a stronger relationship. What do you think, and I know this is a, you know, like an abstract question, what do you think life or your relationship would be like if his career didn't end quite the way that it ended?
I think the gratitude is different. Mm-hmm. The gratitude that you don't have a testimony without a test. I truly believe that. And so I think that if you just go through life and life is just great all the time, you don't know what you're capable of doing until your back's up against the wall. You don't know if you'll fold. And so I would say that I'm grateful that this happened, because once we had our daughter, I was able to go to my college homecoming, and our daughter was only 3 months, well, 6 months old at the time, 3 to 6 months old. And so he was home with her, had her on his lap, and he was very active. He's been more, and I think that was the one thing that I had to talk to, and his best friend actually told me, hey, if he goes back to football, you have to actually let him know what your thoughts are. And I said, the same reason why you did this is the same reason why you have to stop. We have boys. One day they're going to want to toss a football, play a basketball. And if you're not able to do that, how are you going to feel? And so I would say that without this, we wouldn't have, I think the gratitude and what we can actually do now that's past football, and it's a vehicle, is bigger than, it's bigger than us. Mm. So, yeah.
Well said. And just to piggyback, and well, one, I'd be remiss if I didn't even just state, last week you were talking about just the change, the life altering change that it was with the career ending injury. Like, you know, my wife, you know, once again, being my rock, running me for all up and down 495, 695, to see psychologists, psychiatrists, speech language therapists, neurologists, you know, just a gambit, a litany of just specialists. Mm-hmm. And it was also just reiterating that never been any stranger to hard work, but this was a different type of work. Yep. This was something that, you know, you couldn't run, you couldn't throw sprints at, you couldn't lift weights at, you couldn't do agility drills, you couldn't, mm-hmm. This was, you know, how it's not about being a football player anymore, like my wife said, it's about being the best husband I could be, the best mm-hmm. father I could be, the best son, the best brother, best community person, community leader, all those things. And so, yeah, I mean, we made a commitment that this was going to take work. And, you know, work, just like football, you know, we would say that, you know, it's not, oh, I thought I heard pitter patter.
That's okay. This is barking great. On
yeah, so, you know, one barking. Of the things, and yeah, we're just, okay. It's just athlete in that mindset in general is, and how's it go? It's not, it's rent is due like every single day, yeah. And, you know, and so it's no different when it comes to like that being applicable on the field, on the court, whatever mm-hmm. in sports, but applicable to just life. Like rent is due every single day. You know, you don't own anything. We just rent it, and it's due every single day. And so that's the approach that we take as far as just trying to be the best. All the hats that we wear, right? You know, that being the best that we could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Julie talks a lot about leaning in, you know, during the difficult times. And it's always, I think the easy thing always is when you're having a hard time with your partner, it's easy to just, you know, look the other way and walk and take a breath and take care of yourself and let them figure it out. She and I had a very difficult time, primarily because of an injury that I sustained. And I'm not a professional athlete, but it was the same kind of thing. I couldn't outwork it. I couldn't exercise to make it go away. And it was with me 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that resulted in me being kind of an asshole, for lack of a better word. I mean, just not good to be around. I didn't want to be around me.
Yeah. And,
but
he knew that he was not really pleasant. So he's like, you should just go do this or do that. And I was like tempted. And then I was like, no, that's not what we need here. What we need is we need to be closer, and we need to work through that and connect through the pain.
Yeah. I mean, we did an episode, a little over a year ago that it was on the tail end of all of this that we called, Will We Still Be Together Next Valentine's Day? Yeah. Thankfully we made it. But like you said, Kyle, for me, it really was her, because I was emotionally and physically filled up, and I'm not comparing the injuries by any stretch. It's just, I understand how you feel in terms of how you were dealing with it. And it's something that you couldn't you know, outrun, outwork, outfield, or whatever you want, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
And V,
outtrain,
yeah. You know, and so V, you know, to lean in like you did. Mm-hmm. And when you say there's no testimony without a test, which I'm going to steal that.
We're going to steal that. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it's a word. Couldn't have said it better. Have said it better.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely want to take some time and find out, you know, what you guys are doing, what Evolve is, how, you know, how people can get involved. And, you know, it sounds like you're doing great work. Can you tell us about it?
Before you tell us.
Oh, you have another question.
No, I just want to make a statement. I saw a picture of the two of you recently. It looked like you're at Sandy Point. Is that right? Oh, you were at the bridge behind you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you look fine. But you.
Look oh, fine. Thank you.
No, you did too. No, but it was gorgeous.
Well, I mean, I usually do all the heavy lifting. So for her, every, you know, for her to, you know, to take that off my shoulders. You know,
yeah. Okay. So anyway, go back to the real question.
No, thank you. Yes. So as far as the Evolve Foundation, we started it in 2019, but this was after 5 years of us having our football camp. So it started with, we've always been generous and wanting to give back. And it got to the point where we said, how can we do more than just a free football camp? And not just for athletes, but for people in general, you know, whether that was STEM, whether that was mental health, physical health. So over the years, we created the Evolve Foundation in 2019, and it's really geared towards helping the youth in marginalized communities, disadvantaged communities. We understand that there are certain communities, there's just disparities, whether there's a food disparity, whether there's a technology disparity, whether there's even a two-parent household or parents actually being there with the kids, just a lot of kids just going through. We did realize in 2020 that domestic violence cases rose in a lot of communities because kids are now home. So where school was an outlet for them and the parents are frustrated, that's an issue. We realized that truancy for attendance has been an issue. So really just going into the different communities, seeing what their need is and how can we meet them at their need, not going and saying, hey, no, you need this and you need that. If they don't need more computers, if they don't have an issue with technology and computers, but they may have a food disparity. So how can we come in and partner? One of the best, I guess, experiences I would say is that we created a Zen room. So we understand that mental health is an issue and we don't want kids to feel as though they're getting kicked out of classroom. They have to go to the principal, but they actually just need someone to talk to. So we partner with the schools. If they have a crisis intervention specialist, we put a Zen room. Basically, it's a room for them to go to this Zen room, self-regulate, be able to draw, journal, read, stretch, whatever the case is, whatever they need, and get back in class. And we're finding that they're having better attendance, their grades are improving. And so just going across the board, just seeing, hey, what is the need?
And since you're right there, I would be really doing you a disservice if I did not mention that my wife, she's really taken this initiative when it comes to the Zen rooms and spaces. She's really taken that on, like full steam ahead. I mean, she's loading up she's going to IKEA and going to all these Home Goods or Pier One. I didn't even know all these stores even existed. All these different stores loaded up our SUV and grabbing all these items and going to the schools and putting them and some even loading if the custodians or whoever's not there to help her or myself or our team, our staff couldn't be there certain days. She, you know, there's no days off for her. She's putting all this stuff together herself. And that just speaks to her, once again, her dedication, her commitment and her resilience and tenacity when it comes to just getting done what needs to be done, because, you know, that
it's bigger
tomorrow. Tomorrow can't wait. If you could get it done today.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I love obviously the mental health component's huge. And you are pretty high up on, you know, my respect list, but the fact that you can put together IKEA stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You must be something else.
Oh, thank you. Our truck tends to own
one household item. Yeah. And matter of fact, I took him to the landfill. I didn't even finish it.
He won't even touch it, but I've put together some IKEA stuff and it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our truck, I tell people whenever I have to go load up our SUV, I tend to play the game Tetris. I'm trying to figure out how I can position all these boxes in this truck to make it work. I only have to do it in one trip per day. And so, it actually just to see the children in there, to get the testimonials from the principals and the teachers, it's so much bigger than us. So it
makes it all
the why, it doesn't feel like it's not a, it's if the why matters, the how doesn't matter. So however we have to get it done, we're going to get it done. But love, yeah, the why is so strong that, mm-hmm. and when you hear the kids, like I said, we did a Zen Room installation and one of the kids sent him an email back. We had where we unveiled it to the school. We did a reading and running program. So a little, read a book, his book, and then he did a whole little workout with them. And then we fed them and they had Chick-fil-A, and one kid never had Chick-fil-A in his life. And so it's little things like that, that we can take advantage of and take for granted. And then you go into these spaces that they don't have that. And you're just like, man, you know, my kids will ask for Chick-fil-A Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Chick-fil-A twice a day if you let them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's little things like that that just makes it, you know, like I said, football was a vehicle. But it allows us to do what we're doing today. And that makes it worth it. Yeah.
So if people are interested in the organization or want to volunteer, what's the best way to try to reach out to you folks to see how they can help?
Yes. Yeah, so we have, our website is www.theevolvefoundation.org. So we have that. We have a social media, the_Evolve Foundation. You can send a message. We reach out to every single person that reaches out and says that they want to volunteer. We give them the list of our events. And they're able to just come in and help out.
Yeah, I love it.
Terrific. And this will be in our show notes, so people can get, we'll have the links and all that sort of thing. Yes. Kyle and V, thank you guys so much for
taking terrific. Time. And I hope that we get to meet you in person one day, V.
Yes.
And Kyle, we hope to see you again.
Yes. So, thank you so much. I
look forward to it. And set up a double date, matter of fact.
Yes.
We should.
That'd be great.
We would love it.
Yes. I'll be there with my boots and jeans on, and you'll look a lot more dapper.
Yeah, he's good looking.
I fit in.
I know. We all have our lane, you know. Yeah. You know, that works for you. Yeah. You look good.
I'm not sure where my lane is, but that's, you know, anyway.
No, we all can't be like, it's effortless. It's effortless for you. Some of us, we have to work. We got to work at it. Unfortunately, you know, I'm one of those.
That's all right.
Working
hard is better. You're talking to somebody who didn't get into school, into college. Julie, who didn't get into college, she had to go to a summer school in order to get into the University of Maryland, and then graduated. What did you graduate?
Summa cum laude.
See, I don't even know what that is.
No, magna cum laude.
Magna. It's the top 1%.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's tenacity. That's resilience.
I get that. I have to work hard.
Greatness made of.
Yeah.
She really does. But thank you guys again so much. Folks, this is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
You can find us on all major social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I can't even remember.
Every place else.
Anyway, we have a YouTube channel where we will post the video to this interview. Hope that you enjoyed it. And please subscribe. Join us next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.